July 4, 1985. From backstage, I peered out at nearly a million concertgoers on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. People of all ages spread around the monument, filling every inch of space between Constitution and Independence Avenues. I was about to play for the masses that had gathered to celebrate our nation's founding principles. The very principles that enabled me to dream the impossible dream I was now living, and the same principles that had enabled my mother, Maria Islas Bravo, to come to the United States from Mexico to rear her family here in the land of opportunity. As the stars and stripes swept across my view, I thought of the many sacrifices my mother had made so I could perform on this stage. This was no small moment for either of us. In fact, it was everything. Hoping to slow my pulse, I focused on the Lincoln Memorial reflecting pool stretching out behind me. In front, a sea of red, white, and blue flags waved in the wind. My nerves were getting the best of me, and I had to keep reminding myself, breathe. The heat had formed a thick haze as the noon sun beat down on us. I wiped sweat from my brow and pulled a pair of worn drumsticks from my bag. My hands clammy and shaking, I paced the side of the stage, rolling my fingers around the familiar wooden sticks like a baseball player pulling on his favorite glove. This was the biggest concert I had ever played, and I couldn't afford to miss a beat. But it wasn't just the crowd that was making me nervous. The Sea to Shining Sea concert was airing live on national television, and Mama would be watching from home in Los Angeles. As the starting time neared, the teeming crowd began to clap as one, coaxing us to take the stage. From somewhere near the back, a chant began. New Edition! New Edition! Even the more seasoned band members looked wide-eyed at one another, amazed by the magnitude of what was taking place around us. Our stage manager played it cool, handing us each a copy of the set list before giving us the go-ahead to take our positions. As we entered, the droning chants turned to deafening cheers. My heart raced. Perched at the top of my drum riser, I peered through my cymbals. With the sun glaring off the golden discs, I squinted toward the crowd, remembering the words my mother had whispered when I was a young boy. When she had leaned close and tied her orange silk scarf around my neck, saying, "One day, my precious son, you will do something phantasmical with your life." It was her own word, a mix of fantastic and amazing, one she coined to indicate the level of success she hoped all her children would achieve with their dreams. Something so enormous, it would be too wonderful for any ordinary superlative. The musical director gave the green light, pulling me back to the present moment. I took one last deep breath, signaled a thumbs up to my fellow musicians, and started counting us in. It proved impossible for them to hear my count over the screams of teenage girls. So at the last second, I gave a visual cue instead, clicking my sticks four times loudly above my head. Away we went into our hit single, Mr. Telephone Man. The five vocalists of New Edition strode single file to the front of the stage, microphones in hand, dressed in matching Amethyst LeMay jackets, bow ties, and cummerbunds. The dynamic showmen dazzled the audience with their perfectly choreographed moves. In crisp white pants and patent leather loafers, Bobby Brown and Ralph Tresvant took front and center. Behind them, Ricky Bell, Michael Bivins, and Ronnie DeVoe provided harmony as Bobby and Ralph slid and shimmied across the stage, sharing the lead. Sitting high on my raised drum throne, I was adorned with as much bling as an ancient prince, wearing my signature black gaucho hat, silver sequin vest, and rhinestone tie. I laid down the groove as beads of sweat trickled down my back. The entire song became a blur as adrenaline surged and my body took over, working instinctively after countless hours of intense practice. As the song neared its end, it was my time to shine. The rest of the band stopped, and I threw myself into a rousing drum solo, imagining my mother sitting in her living room with tears in her eyes as she smiled at the TV. I glanced toward the crowd, hoping to give a nod to the camera, showing Mama I had made it, and it was all because of her. That's when the audience began to sway hypnotically, waving their arms in tandem and moving in sync to the beat. People in every direction were clapping to the rhythm. The sight overwhelmed me. The crowd could not have been more diverse. Different races and religions, different educational and economic backgrounds, different genders, different dreams, different heartaches. Countless factors could have divided us, but when they all joined with the beat of my drums, the many became one, united in joy. At that moment of synchronicity, I experienced an epiphany. Deep in my soul, I could feel what Mama had always told me. I had been given the gift of bringing joy to others through the power of rhythm. And here was proof. Music really could overcome the many fears, prejudices, and tensions that divide us. Music, my music, had the power to unite. I also realized once and for all that Mama had been right about something else too. Anything is possible when we refuse to give up. Against all odds, my dreams had come true. Amid the backdrop of that musical splendor, I forgot that I had scrounged through Salvation Army donation bins as a kid, that my family was once homeless, reduced to living in our dilapidated 1962 Chevy Nova, and that my father had deserted me at 6 months of age, leaving me nothing but a set of bongos. No one here could have guessed my true identity, not even my bandmates. They had never heard of a Mexican-Irish-American kid named Danny Donnelly. They knew me only as Zorro, their enthusiastic 23-year-old drummer. I had worked so hard to conceal the shame and brokenness of my past, and now I was doing something truly phantasmical with my life, exactly as Mama had predicted. That's when I knew this was just the beginning. The world said I would never amount to anything. My mother said, "All things are possible to those who believe." I believed my mother. This is our story.